move along, and others will find us on our way. With the understanding that if there's any decision that needs to be taken, we would require a quorum, which we don't have at this moment. But my suggestion is that we start the meeting as I welcome all of you this morning. The apologies that we have. On the way. Okay. Then, those are the apologies that I have, that we have here before us, honourable members. I suggest that what we do is we ask that you start the presentation. It looks like the CFO is leading them. We don't know why the DG is not leading you. That is obviously not an acceptable situation. I'm in your hands, honourable members, on that one. Secondly, the Deputy Minister is leading you, who is on his way. He said that he's asking permission out of the Cabinet Committee to join us. And then, if we have a quorum, honourable members, we will be dealing with the outstanding minutes that we have since last year. That is it from my side. Honourable Killian?
Chairperson, I would recommend that we actually just move on, wait for our new members and the minister, because we the deputy minister, because we don't know how long it will take for him to leave his meeting where he is.
A different view from anyone? CFO?
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. Let me first apologise for the DG in person. He is currently in Germany with the TVET conference together with one of the officials of the TVET branch. The acting DG is Mr. Patel, who could unfortunately not be here. In terms of our representation, we have a representative for each branch, except for the corporate services branch, who tendered an apology this morning to say that they are involved in a bargaining chamber and they could not come down. I will, however, take the committee through the background of the presentation and later on deal with the financial matters as well as with the corporate services slides, and the various representatives from the branches will then deal with the various branch presentations. We will deal with the presentation starting with Program 3, University Education, whereafter we'll go to TVET Skills and Community Education, and then lastly, the Planning Branch and Administration. In terms of the background, just to flag on the APP that provided for 86 targets that covered the direct outputs of the budget in the department. Those are dealing with various operations in the department, as well as specific system performance of some of the institutions, especially our universities, our TVET colleges, the CETAS and the CET colleges, Community Education and Training. The focus of this presentation is on the third quarter performance, the period October to December 2017. On slide number four, just the background on the first two quarters. For quarter one, there were eight outstanding targets not achieved. Those have been achieved to date, as well as the three outstanding achievements for quarter two. For the current quarter, the third quarter that we are reporting on, there were 36 planned targets and 32 of those were achieved. There were one in program three not achieved and three in program four, universities and TVET respectively, and each branch will focus on those specifically as well. Chair, I'm going to ask then that we move on to program three as the first one to deal with, university education, and ask Mr. Mabizela to take us through program three.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members and colleagues. Mahlubi Mabizela, I'm the Chief Director responsible for University Education Policy, but I'm acting officially as DDG for this week. Dr. Diane Parker is in Fiji at the Commonwealth Education Ministers meeting. I'll go through the slides on the university branch and just to apologize for my hiccup. It's not because I stutter. If I don't finish some words, it's just a temporal thing. The university branch, as we know, the purpose of the branch is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory framework for an effective, efficient university education system, and it provides financial support to universities, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, and the National Higher Education Institutes. That's an old one which we haven't as yet managed to change because the institutes, education institutes are no longer there. Then the strategic objectives for 2017-18 is to develop appropriate steering mechanisms for university education to ensure integrated planning within PSET subsystems, to ensure effective monitoring and evaluation of the university education sector, and to provide management information and statistics on the performance of higher education institutions. The targets for the financial year 2017-18 were 20, and the targets in the third quarter, which we are here for, were 7, and the targets that we achieved in the third quarter were 6, which means 86%, and the targets not achieved in the third quarter was 1, comprising 14%. And then on the achievements, the draft policy framework on collaboration between professional bodies, the government, departments, and quality councils has been developed and consultations completed. The final draft on the amendments to the NSFAS Act has been developed and consultations completed. A report on the financial health of universities in the 2015 academic year was approved by the Director General on 15 December 2017, and the report on the implementation of the Teaching and Learning Development Program was approved by the Director General on 11 December 2017. A report on the effective use of the 2016-17 Foundation Provision Grant was developed and approved by the Director General on 5 December 2017. A cohort study report data verification and generation of cohort table commenced as planned. And then now to the targets that were not achieved in the quarter was the process of developing the final draft of the National Plan for Post-School Education and Training. The plan has not been developed. In fact, I think that's a strong word. The plan has been developed. It's being consulted as we speak. We have one more consultation to conduct in the Western Cape on the 1st of March. We have done other consultations in other regions already, and the target is that by end of March, we will then be consolidating all the feedback that we are getting from the consultation. So that work is in progress. It's just that it was off the time that we had set for the third quarter. And then the university system targets and performance, the 9 or 79% of the 13 targets that have been achieved. Now, the ones that were not achieved, to start with, the student enrollments in public higher education, at the public higher education institutions, the target was 995,000 students to be enrolled during that financial year or that academic year 2017-18, and the actual numbers were 975,000. 387. I will come back with the explanation. I just want to go through all those that were not achieved. Then graduates in engineering sciences from universities, the target was 13,000 and we fell short into 12,386. And the graduates in humanities and animal health from universities were 10,400. As the target, but we achieved slightly less at 10,087. Then graduates in natural and physical sciences from universities, the target was 8,300 and achieved 8,093. Just by way of explanation, especially on the enrollments and how they were missed, the first reason is that the targets that were set are based on the averages of growth in the previous years. So it's a calculation. It's based on calculation. I don't know whether it will be acceptable, but you know, when it's based on calculation, it's likely to be missed. Well, then that's the first reason. The second reason is based on the University of South Africa, which is the largest in the system, and it's based on it's a distance education system or institution. So whatever happens in their numbers, it affects the whole of the system. So what happened with UNISA is that they changed their electronic system of enrollments in that year, 2016, and so as a result, that system affected the enrollments, but now they are back into that old system that was working, so we are hoping that, you know, the targets then will now be achieved, having that system working. Now, The same example or the same reason, but not necessarily on UNISA now, when it comes to graduates, the same reason on the averaging and working on an average growth percentages would apply for the graduates, except of course for the human health and animal health from universities. The reason why that exception is that we've got now 9 faculties of medicine in the country and only one on human health. And And those targets, when they are set, as I have explained, you know, they are set on averages, and the likelihood is that they would be missed. It's not the ones on graduates, on all the graduates, it's not the ripple effect of the, it's not the ripple effect of the miss, the targets that are missed on enrollments. That ripple effect will still come at a later stage. Then the other targets were achieved or even excelled. Graduates in initial teacher education and universities, at universities, doctoral graduates from universities, research master's graduates at the institutions. The success rate at universities, higher education undergraduate success rate, the higher education undergraduate success rate at distance education, mainly UNISA again, university academic staff with the PhDs, the target has been achieved, students in foundation programs, and eligible university students obtaining financial aid through the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Nothing much really to say on those targets that were achieved. And we think that we also know the reasons why we were able to achieve them. Thank you very much, CFO. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Mabizelo. Chair, would you like us to continue? Program 4, TVET, will be dealt with by Ms. Aruna Singh from the TVET branch.
Thank you, CFO. Good morning, honorable members. The TVET branch report, I'm Aruna Singh standing in for Mr. Patel, who is standing in for the DG currently. So please pardon me, I'm acting Chief Director for Programs and Qualifications. The slides start from page 5. And as we can see, the key outputs for the TVET system are around largely the national competency around TVET colleges, which is a fairly recent competency from the provinces. So the national department has had to develop and review TVET steering mechanisms to steer the whole system, the 50 TVET colleges in the 9 provinces, which operate effectively under 6 regions, to ensure proper monitoring and evaluation, because the department is responsible for reporting on these institutions. Key to TVET colleges are teaching and learning as their core competency. The focus is on infrastructure because of the historical neglect in the sector, and the strong stakeholder network that is essential for delivery of TVET in these colleges. The targets for the 2017-18 financial year were 28. For the third quarter in particular, it was 12, and of these, 9 targets were met, that is 17, and 3 were outstanding. That's 25% of the targets. But it is important to note that of these, two of the 3 outstanding targets were subsequently achieved, even though they were slightly out of the actual reporting period. In terms of the achievements, a reporting policy on the performance of TVET colleges has been developed. As I said, the National Department reports on issues of compliance, governance, and so forth regarding TVET colleges. So a policy, there have been several policies that were developed in this regard, and several of them were deliverable in the current financial year. So we have the policy on the monitoring of the performance of TVET colleges that was approved by the DG at the end of last year. Then there are a series of draft policies. There are 4 draft policies that have been completed, and they have been signed off at the level of the department. The first one is on financial management, which is an important policy, which is provided by the department, but which colleges then use to add on the layer of institutional policies as part of their management and governance structure. The draft policy for SIBCEPT, the South African Institute for Vocational and Continuing Education and Training, has been developed and approved. The draft policy for the administration management of student admissions for TVET colleges has also been developed, and finally, a draft policy framework for TVET qualifications has been developed. So all of these policies are regarded as draft because they would yet go for public comment. So at the level of the department, there is consensus that these are the policies as they stand that will go for public comment, and that process will follow in the fourth quarter. Further achievements, the following slide focuses largely on infrastructure development and infrastructure maintenance. So a rollout plan for the construction of 9 TVET college campuses has been developed. The original target was 12. The plans for the first 3 were completed. Pending funding, 9 were outstanding, but the plans for those 9 campuses has now been completed. And the draft framework for the maintenance of current infrastructure and the funding model for the TVET college structure has been developed. This has been a large gap in the TVET system, because every time we've had an injection of funding in infrastructure, such as the recapitalization in 2005-06 thereabouts, there was never a plan put in place for the maintenance of infrastructure. And given the age of much of the infrastructure in the TVET system, this was a huge gap. So that framework has been developed. Also, our funding model has been developed. In other words, how does this get taken care of down the line? In addition to that, a maintenance plan over the next few years has been developed for how infrastructure will be maintained across the system, given that we have 50 TVET colleges, but really we have in excess of 260 sites of delivery where teaching and learning actually happens. And what's also important is the development of a national infrastructure asset management system for TVET colleges. This is critically important simply because of the function shift that happened from the province's provincial control of the TVET colleges to the national department. So that was prioritized, and that is in progress. In terms of the targets that were not achieved, the first one is around the report. A report was required on the conduct of exams, public TVET college examination exams across all the centers, but it's important to note that this was subsequently achieved, a report, and it was largely attributable to the change in the National Exams and Assessment Chief Directorate, where we had a change of official. So that slight time lag is, as a result of that. Then a report on the certification backlog and the eradication thereof. It was subsequently achieved, but that does require a little more explanation, and the following slides will deal with that as we come to the report on the numbers. The draft plan for TVET college lecturer development has already been consulted, particularly with colleges. You will note that there hasn't been too much of input, actually less than the desirable level of input from colleges for various reasons. Part of it could be that, there's a reliance on the department to probably make recommendations in terms of lecture development, or it could be that officials are very busy to make inputs there. But that gap will be filled by a conference, a lecturer development and qualifications and development conference that is scheduled for 18th to 19th of March. So all the stakeholders, immediate stakeholders, of course, colleges and the extended stakeholder community, such as universities and so forth, will be participating in the conference that will take place in next month. Coming to the performance targets, student performance targets, we have the 2017-18 targets indicated there. The figures reported in the last column for the 2017-18 reporting year are important to in terms of the interpretation because of the kind of programs and enrollment periods and examination cycles that we have every year. The NCV, for example, is probably the easiest because it's an annual program. It runs in a straightforward way, starts at the beginning of the year and ends in December, so to report on that is easy, but it cannot be reported inside of 3 months. So effectively, the examination that finished in November, December 2017 will only, the certification level will only be available as at 31 March 2018, because that's the reporting time that we have given for all certification. The native programs, on the other hand, are different because we have in the engineering studies 3 enrollments per year, in January, in May, and in August. And for the business studies, it's in January and then again in July. So the certification for those periods, we try to align them to the reporting period. So for example, this third quarter reporting, what we will have is the certification level for engineering studies only because that ended in August. And then we need 3 months to ascertain what the certification level is, and hence it comes into the quarter three reporting period. That is what we call in the TVET colleges the third trimester of the year. Just to also point out that the NCV certification data is therefore for the 2016 academic year, which was verified and reported on as the 2017-18 target, because the 2017 academic year will only be concluded at the end of March, as I said. In terms of the status on the certification backlog, the NCV backlog has been eradicated. So there are no outstanding certificates in terms of the national certificates vocational qualifications are concerned. As I said earlier, only for the last academic year where exams were completed in November, December 2017, the certification will only be completed at the end of March. In terms of the NATED backlog, the 2015 to 2017 period was prioritized because those were the urgencies. That's where the students require their certificates, either for further studies or for employment purposes and so forth. So working with CETA, the State Information Technology Authority, priority was given to these most recent years. And currently, the certification for all the regular cases for 2015 to 2017 have been dealt with and cleared. What is still, what the department is still busy with are those exceptional cases involving students whose details do not correlate. For example, ID numbers do not correlate to their names, particularly those who have been involved in several sittings. Students, you know, can enroll several times a year and over several years and carry subjects and so forth. And the matching process, they have found, has taken quite long because over different sittings in different years, some students might have the same ID number, but the names have changed over time. Or in other instances, the same name but the same ID, strangely enough, has not correlated. So that's what we call the cleanup process. Some students have been involved in irregularities, so their results were held back. But it is more the exceptional cases over this 2015 to 2017 period that are being dealt with. Once that is completed, then there is a long period of data that has to be cleaned up. And that data period goes from 1991, and it will have to come up to 2014. And in those instances, again, the cleanup is required because certification has happened over this period, but where there were problems, those had not been addressed historically. So the National Exams and Assessment Chief Director, together with CETA, will then begin working on those instances where students did not get certificates, but where there are gaps, and finding those students is going to be difficult because they are obviously out of the system and they will have to be tracked for whatever outstanding details there are to issue them with their certificates. But the target of meeting certification within 3 months of an examination sitting, that is the commitment we have in our plan, has been met for the NATED program. So in essence, what has happened in the 2017 academic year is that the department and CETA has worked to refine the system for how they can certificate within 3 months, because that's a commitment that's made. And in terms of that particular commitment, we have achieved that target for 2017. What it means is that going forward, it is possible for the department to certificate inside of 3 months. The challenge is the backlog that has to be concurrently dealt with in that process. With regard to the audit of TVET colleges, which was an issue in our previous reporting, 48 of the 50 TVET colleges have been audited by the Auditor General as per the requirement. Two colleges were outstanding even in the last reporting period. Those were Swanee North College and Northern Cape Rural. Letters of warning have been sent from the Minister, that was in September last year, to the College Council as the governance structure of the Council, citing non-compliance, because that this is a requirement in terms of the Act. And both colleges have to date indicated that they are in the process of finalizing the audit process for both these institutions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Aruna. Chair, we go then to skills development. Mr. Malivive Lunko will be with the skills branch.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CFO. Malivive Lunko, as indicated, is my name. I'm representing DDG Mvalo. I'm presenting the Skills Development Branch program, sub-program. The purpose of the program is to provide and is to promote and monitor the National Skills Development Strategy, develop a skills development policy and regulatory framework for effective skills development system. In this program, we have got four strategic objectives. The first one is to develop and review steering mechanism. Second one is to ensure effective artisan development and assessment services. Third one is to ensure effective monitoring and evaluation of artisan development. And lastly, to develop infrastructure facility for artisan development. For the year under review, we have eight targets, but for this quarter, third quarter, we've got five. And from the five targets, we have achieved the five targets for this quarter. The other targets that we have not achieved, which I'll come back to later, are the systems targets. The targets that we have achieved so far is the development of the second draft of National Skills Development Plan following consultation with NEDLAC and National Skills Development Authority. The target for this is that this plan must be in place by the 31st of March, 2018, but throughout the year we have set ourselves some milestone being the consultation with NEDLAC and NSA, and we can safely report that this has been gazetted and we have received approximately 52 public comments. We have analyzed the comments and shared them with NSA, and last week on Friday NSA had a round table to discuss. So the only thing that we are waiting for now is the advice from the NSA, which they promised by this coming Friday they will sit and provide an advice to the minister, in the which case a submission will be prepared for the minister for the final determination on this particular CETA landscape and NSTP. Now, the second achievement is the report that every quarter we are expected to do for the implementation of National Skills Development Strategy by the CITAS. This is in line with their service level agreement, and that report has been processed and was completed. Now, the third achievement was to provide a report on CITA governance, on the governance of CITAS, which was done and approved by the DG. But I'll talk about that in the next slide. Now, the fourth one, achievement, the process of conducting trade tests for qualifying applicants received until a trade test is conducted was 100 days during the quota under review. The lead time, we want to reduce the lead time between the applicants wanting to do the trade test. So the target was 100 days, and that was done miraculously within 100 days in all the applications received. The fifth one is the implementation of security infrastructure development plan at Indela. And this one, we're reporting it on quarterly basis, and it has been compiled and is moving according to plan. Now, the next slide, this one deals with the systems target. Now, there's an indicator, national learners, artisan learners trade test pass rate, which for this quarter was 58%, and unfortunately that one could not be achieved, and it was 52%. And the second one is the proportion of CITAS meeting standards of good governance. The target was 60, and in terms of the assessment, it was 100%. I think this one, let me just explain so that I let the members understand. Around about March 2016, Minister approved CITA governance charter and governance standards. So there are standards which all CITAs have to comply with. Because it was the first year, so we had to identify some standards within the governance standards which CITAs have to meet, at least because we want to do this incrementally. And at least those standards which we were able to validate, because we had to choose the standards that we were able to get a proof of instead of tick boxes. So all CITAs have met those standards. Hence we say that they've achieved 100%, but that doesn't mean that everything is hunky-dory, and I think we need to explain that. For instance, one of the standards is saying that in all board meetings, members must declare conflict of interest. Now, the only way in which we are able to assess that is to go to the register and see if then there's any declaration of conflict. But the declaration of conflict does not mean that subsequently people cannot be found with the vested interest. So I thought, let me just explain that. The other one, new artisan learners qualified, the target is 21,110, and that one is the annual target. And so far, cumulatively, 9,787. And on this one, normally, the fourth quarter, which is January to March, is then that we always, in every year, get the upswing of learners being registered by the employers. That's all for Program 5, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The next program is number 6, Community Education and Training. Unfortunately, the representative from Program 6, Mr. David Diali, is not here yet. He only was able to fly this morning. So I'll take the committee through Program 6. On Community Education and Training, two of the key objectives are to develop and review CET steering mechanisms and to ensure effective monitoring and evaluation of the sector. There were 6 targets for 2017-18 in total, and for the third quarter there was 1 target which was achieved, namely the public comments on the draft reporting policy for CET colleges that was received and incorporated into the final draft policy, and that is en route to the Minister for approval. On the next slide, slide number 21, there are 2 system performance indicators. The first one is the headcount enrollments in CET colleges. As for Program 3 and 4, the focus here was on the 2016 academic year data. The target was 310,000, and the actual achievement for 2016 273,431. In terms of the certification rate in community education formal qualification, the achievement was 36% compared to the target of 38%. We trust that Mr. Diali will be in by the time there are specific questions regarding the program chair. I'm going to ask them that Mr. Reinith Mgiba, who is at the computer, deals with program 2, planning, policy and strategy.
Thank you, CFO. Good morning, members. My name is Reinith Mgiba. I'm representing DDG Dr. Sishi, who couldn't make it to this meeting. Now, it is on. I'll just raise my voice. Chair, the purpose of the branch, maybe let me start off by saying the existence of the branch called Planning, Policy and Strategy in the department is to support the core delivery branches of the department in terms of planning, in terms of how we should develop our policies and what policies to be developed, as well as the strategy of the department. Now, the purpose, therefore, is to ensure that there is concise strategic direction in terms of developing strategies of the department, the policies, as well as the requisite oversight on implementation. And that gets reflected in the strategic objectives of the branch, mainly in terms of the steering mechanisms that are required for the PSET system as a whole, but also the teaching and learning support, the student support services, as well as the provision of management information statistics. So its functions really cut across the functions of other branches in the department. For the financial year 2017-18, we have 12 targets. All of those are due for completion by end of March this year. But as you would recall, that on a quarterly basis, we do give progress towards the attainment of the 12, and for the quarter under review, we specifically looked at the 8 targets that were due, and mainly outputs towards the 12, and all of those have been achieved. Just to take you through the progress in as far as those are concerned, firstly, the members will recall that as part of the LMI project, the Labour Market Intelligence Project, we sought to develop a list of occupations in high demand. And for the quarter under review, we needed to have finalized the first draft of that. That has been done. We have finalized it as we speak now. It's just awaiting approval from the DG and the minister. And once finalized, it's going to be the list that will inform skills planning in the country to support the department's planning processes in respect to enrollments, resource allocation, career advice, as well as qualifications development. Secondly, we also finalized the policy document on disability. That policy was presented to Cabinet in December, and it has now been it's now being processed for gazetting in the next 3 weeks. We are also producing oversight reports in as far as the implementation of social inclusion within the institutions in PSET, open learning, career development services, as well as the investment trends report in PSET. Those, as I indicated, will be finalized by end of the current quarter, the fourth quarter. However, processes have been started. We've been collating the requisite information on a quarterly basis, and in the third quarter, the same was undertaken. We also have started the development of the management information system for CET colleges. That process is at an advanced stage. For the quarter under review, we were supposed to have finalized the specifications in terms of the data load, and that was consulted with the relevant stakeholders within the CET college environment. By end of the financial year, we should be having the design of the system finalized. We also are producing statistics on PSET on an annual basis, statistics that pertains to enrollments, graduations, artisan development, as well as success rates within universities and pass rates in the area of artisan development. Process has started. In the quarter under review, we're supposed to have consulted on the draft report with managers responsible for data in those respective subsystems, and that has been completed, and we should be ready by end of this quarter to produce the completed report. Those are the achievements for the branch chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ranus. Thank you, Chair. If we can then go to program one, as there is no representative for the program, I will take the committee through program one and thereafter deal with the financial information as well. Under program one, the management and administration of the department, we have corporate services on the one side and then the office of the CFO on the other side. In terms of corporate services specifically, focus on, in terms of the strategic objectives, the effective HR management in the department, as well as improved ICT services. Now, for the year in total, there were 12 targets, and 3 targets focusing on corporate services specifically were applicable to quarter 3. Those 3 targets were met. And on slide 25, it's indicated the first one, the plan that was developed by corporate services to reduce the number of days to resolve disciplinary cases, and it was approved by the Director General. The second one, in line with DPSA directives, a data center infrastructure has been established, and this was to ensure that there are proper governance of ICT and to address effective usage of IT resources. The third target, an ICT governance framework, was approved by the Director General. It was after the third quarter in January 2018, and this framework is now serving as a guide to implement corporate governance of ICT within the department. In terms of the financial information, first of all, just to reflect on the status of expenditure as at the third quarter. By the end of December, the department spent in total 85.3%.
Just an apology. Have you joined our committee, Minister?
Chair.
You are welcome to come to higher education.
Thank you, Jefferson. The total spending with including direct charges was 85.3% at the end of December. For normal operational activities, including our compensation of employees, the expenditure was 72.6%. If you look at compensation of employees specifically, Total spending was 72.1%. Now that's broken down into two areas. On the one side, our normal personnel expenditure, which is the salaries of all the staff, including TVETs and CETs. That was at 71.6%. And then the expenditure for examiners and moderators was already at 99.6%. The reason for that high percentage is mainly based on the examinations that mainly takes place in the first three quarters of the year, especially then your November exams. There are still quite a number of expenses going through during January, February and March, and we do expect that we will overspend on the actual provision for examiners and moderators, but we will apply environment to address that overspending. The department is also still applying all the cost containment measures that's applicable to government. Expenditure is monitored on a monthly basis, and at this stage, Chair, in the fourth quarter, I must also indicate that the department's expenditure trend is very high already, and we are now at a stage that we, on a day-to-day basis, monitor our expenditure to ensure that we remain within our total allocation. We are also in close cooperation with National Treasury on this matter, and we will apply environment where appropriate within the Treasury rules. Treasury also indicated that where we require Treasury approval for specific environments, those approvals can reach them until the end of February, and we are monitoring the situation closely to ensure that everything is dealt with according to the rules. In terms of transfer payments and subsidies, all were processed as planned and within the approved payment schedules, that's approved by the accounting officer on the one side for specific institutions and also by National Treasury for some. We will later on in the slides per program and per economic classification just highlight a few key trends specifically regarding transfer payments as well. Higher spending rate in program 3, our universities, where they receive their subsidies as well as the subsidies that's paid to the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Because of that, also transfer payments would be reflected as the highest expenditure trend item in the department. Chair, on the next slide, just to report on the status of irregular expenditure, you will recall that the committee requested that we on a quarterly basis also flag what is the status of our irregular expenditure. As reported in the second quarter for the financial year to date, we identified one case of irregular expenditure. There are no more yet at this stage. We can fortunately report on that. All the matters that are within the delegation of the accounting officer have been condoned to date. Within those areas, there were three specific transactions where we were of the opinion during the investigation that there might have been some form of wrongdoing on the side of five officials. Those have been reported and they have been handed over to Labour Relations for possible disciplinary action, and Labour Relations are currently busy with those five cases. There are two cases in terms of irregular expenditure that require the condonement of National Treasury in terms of the delegations of authority, and those two cases were submitted to National Treasury with details of the investigations performed and the outcomes of those, and we are awaiting the outcome from National Treasury on those two cases. So if we can then look at the last two slides, number 29 and 30, in terms of actual expenditure trends. Per program, you'll see that program 3, as I indicated, the program with the highest spending at 92.4%, because of the university subsidies and the NISFA subsidy. All other programs, you can see, is very close to the benchmark of 75% by the end of the third quarter. The direct charges to the CETAS and the NSF, also on par. That is in line with the collection of the skills levies and with the adjusted amount of 15.7 billion as announced by the Minister of Finance in the adjusted estimates. The last slide, the spending per economic classification, just to indicate again, you can see there the provision and expenditure for personnel expenditure as well as the examiners and moderators. Goods and services, as you can see, that was already at the high of 85% by the end of December, and the reason for us also at this point, we are already over 90% to monitor it on a daily basis and to ensure that we remain within limits. In terms of transfer payments, for universities, total spending so far at the end of December of 90%. That is mainly because of the fact that all the block grants, the normal subsidies for universities, are paid during the period April to November for the full financial year. The remaining portion, mainly two specific earmark grants where there are claims to be submitted by the institutions before they can be processed. The one is for the infrastructure and efficiency grant, and the other one is for the historically disadvantaged grant. So those will make up the remaining balance of 3 million over the next 2 months that's still remaining in the year. In terms of our public entities, NSFAS, the only one that receives the full allocation by the end of December. The others are mainly based on quarterly payments and they were processed in January. For the Commonwealth of Learning, the India, Brazil, South Africa Initiative and USAF, which is linked to the Higher Education and AIDS program, we were at 80% and we expect that all those will be paid before the end of March. TVET colleges, total spending 63%. This is the subsidies to our TVET colleges. The reason that the third and last transfer was processed in January, so at this stage it was only 63%. All the transfers for CET colleges were made, the skills levy as I indicated on par, and our leave gratuities that reflects people that go on early retirement, which we cannot provide for initially, those are also in terms of the treasury rules classified as a transfer, and we reflect them separately as well. Capital expenditure on part almost 60%, a number of items have been ordered, in the meantime been delivered, and I think the department will be close to 100% on that item at the end of the financial year. Chair, those are all the areas. Glathia, back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm going to hand over to the Deputy Minister now. Deputy Minister, you might want to talk to us about what's happening at NSFAS also.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think what I would like to do now is just to make one or two remarks and then maybe engage with the questions and then probably make more remarks later on if you would permit. Is that okay? Okay. All right, I think firstly, I think as presented, the report is a reflection of the overall performance of the department in the last quarter. And I must indicate that this quarter is obviously it includes the end of the year and also of the academic year, but it also coincided with the announcement that was made by the then president of the Republic as it relates to fee-free higher education. And it may not necessarily begin to reflect what the impact of that announcement is, because those numbers will only be reflected on the report of quarter four. But I must say that given... is what? Oh, of the first quarter, actually, yes. What I must say is that we've obviously done our bit with regards to ensuring that we get that resolution to be implemented, or that policy announcement to be implemented. What are our concerns? Firstly, we're quite concerned as it relates to Program 3, that we haven't been able to achieve the numbers as it relates to registration. If we can look at slide number 8, which is on page 4 of the document circulated, we although the actual numbers compared to the target are not significant. This is in relation to the targets and performance in terms of the academic year, students' enrollment in higher education institutions, and the specific programs. Although the difference between the actual target, the actual numbers and the target is negligible, I think it's quite a concern that target has not been achieved. The second issue of concern, which we think there has been progress on, but we still get or are still inundated with complaints, relates to the issuing of certificates for TVET college students. I think that's the second issue, and I think the department working together with the CETA is doing its best to ensure that we turn around that situation. The third area of concern, which is on slide 19, relates to the which is under Program 5, the Skills Development Progress on Annual Systems Targets, the new artisans learners qualified. The target was 21,000. But only 9,000 has qualified, and also the artisan learners registered. So it's quite obviously a concern. So I think those are the issues that I thought that we should just indicate as concern, and obviously that a lot more will have to be done in order to ensure that we meet the targets in those areas in the future. But in the overall, Chair, that's the report of the department, and I think would engage with questions together with the team from the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before I ask the members to ask for questions, we have asked you also to talk to us about the... thank you, Deputy Minister. We've asked you to give us a list of where the vacancies are outstanding. We've also asked you to give us an update on those colleges that the AG pointed out, and we think it would be good if you can tell us in the meeting, as well as the pension liability matter that was raised, and also those colleges that were fingered in the audit findings. We've asked you to update us on those. You have and especially the Swanee one also. May I ask, when you answer questions, that you answer on that also. Honourable Killian, followed by Kikana, followed by Van der Westhuizen, number 3. Sorry, Honourable Mkuna, I couldn't see you over there. Honourable Pazoli, and then Mkuna. Welcome, Honourable Buthelezi. Did I miss anyone? No? Go for it, Honourable Killian.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the department. Thank you for the report on quarter three. Chairperson, I just wanted to move through some of the programs with specific questions. First of all, if I look at the slide with reference to the NSFAS Act, and consultations that have been completed, is there any idea when that will be tabled in Parliament? What is, you know, the next step in that process? Then wanted to understand, yes, we see on Program 3 there's an underachievement, and there was an explanation that I think if UNISA sneezes, the system contracts a cold. It's evident, because it's such a huge institution. So if they hit any snag in enrollment, it has an impact right across the system. Jay, and I just wanted to say, from what the feedback on what happened at the beginning of this year, I don't think UNISA is through the woods. I think the system that they have implemented or that they have reverted back to, it's still problematic. Many, many students do not have the opportunity to study from quarter one in the new academic year. So I just wanted to make that comment as far as that is concerned. Chair, and just a question. I trust that these targets that are annually set are based on the National Development Plan, because remember, we must work towards the goal. And if the department is not achieving, it will obviously have a knock-on effect. And they will have to come back to us and say, we have missed this or that, and we will have to redouble our efforts to catch up. So I just wanted to make that comment. Then, Chair, I hear what the Minister is saying about Program 3, but I have many more concerns about Program 4. Chairperson, if we go back to what the Auditor General said in the last annual report of the department, which was 2016-2017, The Auditor General expressed a concern about information system on throughput rates, etc., and that there is no ability, the department is not in a position to generate statistics on TVET throughput rate, and it also made a remark on funded NCV4 programs. Now, Chairperson, I have a very serious concern. When we look at the quarter three targets of TVET, yes, we have seen on the slide, and I know my slide is a different number because, you know, they've changed. The original slide number was 11. We see that certain draft policies were developed, and I understood that it must still go through certain processes. But actually, we've delayed very important key steps. And if we, for instance, look at infrastructure maintenance and rollout, etc., if we look at the systemic targets in the strategic plan this year, we have very serious delays. We look at TVET sector, Chair, and if you will allow me, it's on page... Just in passing, I just wanted to say, somehow student support services have been approved already in 2016-17, and we should have seen the implementation. Well, in fact, it was 2015-16. But there's no sort of focus on that. And we know, especially in the TVET sector, that's a very key element. Chairperson, but I would like to go to the rollout of the systemic targets. There was feedback on some of the targets, but on page 79, we don't have any feedback here on the headcount enrollment in TVET colleges, and that links my question and my concern to the Auditor General. Does it mean TVET does not have a management information system with data that can be trusted? If so, how can we put money in and we cannot assess the performance of that particular program? So that is really a very serious concern, Chairperson. The same applies to TVET colleges funded from other sources, headcount enrollments, TVET colleges, college funded, etc. Where is that information system? We should have had a baseline and annual progress report on that matter, and I don't see it anywhere. Chairperson, and actually the one slide says, and there's a little note at the bottom, it says, data on headcount enrollment was not readily available due to inaccuracies in the data files. Is that a true reflection? Is there a system, or is there no system? Because, you know, we need clarity on that matter, and we can't just brush over it. Then, Chair, I would like to know, if we look at Program 5, Skills Development, there's a 100% achievement, and the department explained that they are going to introduce that incrementally. But we will have to know, as a committee, what the criteria were, on what were they assessed, so that we can determine if there will be progression to ensure effective management in CETAs. I really have a concern, Chairperson. Those CETAs are going in and out. We know it's a landscape that's going to change. They're sitting on a resource and they can manage money much more effectively. And as a committee, it's our responsibility to get the facts and the figures. Then, Chairperson, I heard a matter with regard to underachievements as far as the certification and headcount enrollment of community education colleges. What is good, I must say, is at least it appears that there's a management information system in place in Program 6, which is going to make it possible to monitor and evaluate the performance in that system. Chair, then, I would like to ask, diverse responsibility because Planning Program 2 manages the MIS for CET, for the Community Education and Training. Who is responsible? Is it also Program 2 that should develop a system for the TVET, or is it the TVET sector themselves? Because we don't want to have a situation that the one program thinks the other one is responsible for that. And, you know, we're getting towards the end of the year, the Auditor General is again going to make a remark on the department's ability to assess input and output. So it's coming our way. Then, Chair, implementation on disciplinaries. We see that it was approved on the 29th of September. Do we have any indication if any disciplinaries have been inducted since then? Have they taken place? Especially the ones on irregular expenditure. PFMA is very clear what must happen with people who do not comply. And then lastly, Chair, can I ask, how can we resolve the matter of examiners and moderators? Is it poor planning? Is it a moving target? What is it? How can we improve planning, including financial planning, to ensure that it does not come as a wave towards the end of the year? Thank you, Chair.
That's my turn, Chair. The first question is on the bargaining chamber, especially with community education and training. Maybe this is because of the transformation where they went to high education. We've had people who come to us and complain who are teaching at that level and say they actually don't know where they belong, whether they are paid as teachers, like a basic education, or whether they are paid like lecturers in high education. And I must also mention that wherever we go in universities and TVETs, the issue of lecturers, the issue of labor becomes a big thing. So as a bargaining council, are we able to get some indication of what has been bargained? For example, I don't understand. I mean, universities has institutional autonomy. Does it mean any university, every university can independently decide how to pay, what to pay, whether to continue with the racial thing of the past, there's no parity? How does bargaining chamber deal with that? Because now and then that also gets raised when we visit university. So the first question is this one of labor and bargaining council. Secondly, the TVET. When we visited in our oversight, we came across Chavlani, that is a TVET. It has an old workshop, but that workshop is not functional. All the machines are either old or the workshop is totally not used. So that worries me, because wherever we go again, TVET students keep on complaining that they don't get enough practicals. They are actually taught theory. And if you want this sector to be successful, please make it practical. Because in its design from Industrial Revolution, it was apprenticeship, journeyman, on-the-job training, where you are taught by what you see, not theoretical. And if you make it theoretical, it will defeat the purpose. Because I hear that even in first world countries, it is more practical than theoretical. It is on-the-job training. So if you want to make it successful, and we have even seen it in our communities, there are mechanics who can master a car, but you can see that this guy has actually not been behind the desk for a long time. It was on the job training, and he knows his trade. So my request is that we said 70% practical and 30% theory. Are we adhering to that with what is available to us with 3 tiers of government, to start with local government for electrician, plumbers and so on, and parastatals and state-owned entities? Are we exposing our students there? Otherwise, if it isn't practical, I repeat, I think we're setting up our students for failure. That is a concern. And the question to you, whether we're doing enough practical and workshop with the money that where we can afford the workshops. The one on university, Dr. Mabuzela, I'm happy that for the time you gave us some report of engineers. Because remember that all this precedent that the president was saying about economic growth, fighting poverty, unemployment and inequality, if the economy is not growing, and they say the economy grow based on a strong, underpinned by a strong infrastructural facility, without engineering that will never happen. We can make statements and all kind of noises as government, but to implement all this that we are saying, engineering at university is key. Because that was also said in ASCISA and GIPSA, remember 2007, our second economic review policy, that we need engineers. Now, what I don't understand is when you calculate how many engineers we are producing according to UNISA, I thought it's a straightforward calculation. All universities that have engineering faculty can do a head count and say this year we have passed so many people and send it to government. And you do your calculation, just adding up and say how many engineers is the country able to produce. These engineers are the ones that are going to develop South Africa or Africa. Without them, it will never develop. Now, this is why I'm worried that are we catching up? In the past, blacks are not allowed to be engineers. When we do oversight, even old universities like TEFLOP, FORTE, still don't have engineering. VISTA, which is a new university, is still taking the racial lines because UJ does have, which is the central university for VISTA, but VISTA in Soweto doesn't have engineering. So if after 20 years we're not catching up with this, disciplines that are very important for our development, because these are faculties that are going to engineer development in South Africa and Africa. If they are not there, it can be. It can happen. We'll keep on complaining there's no implementation because we ourselves don't create the necessary facilities to implement our policies. So that is my concern, that are we going to open engineering faculties in the black universities? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, if I may just start with first comments regarding the targets. I have got serious questions on whether the target set really address the real issues, the real challenges of the higher education and training sector in South Africa. And I feel that some of those really important aspects, things that the department should aim for, are not covered by these targets at all. And therefore I would like, and perhaps the Deputy Minister might be able to assist us, because I believe that these targets would have been signed off by the Minister. How come that the targets for, for example, universities and the TVETs differ so vastly? If we say at the university level we want to say how many graduated in sciences or how many PhDs, etc. Shouldn't we have the same kind of target with the TVET to say that we want, let's say, 10,000 people qualifying with level 4 or so many engineering students must be able to achieve their diploma through the TVET, etc. The second one is there are some real challenges in the department that it seems to me is not getting the necessary attention because it's not a stipulated target. And I'm referring here, for example, with the examination leaks that have been ongoing, and in this third quarter, again, there have been some serious leaks of examination papers. Now this is an extremely serious thing, and if this country is able to organize a matric or senior certificate exam at many, many more sites of examination centers, how come the department is not making this a serious target? And I see that the report on irregular expenditure, but the department is quiet on the what for me amounts eventually to fruitless and irregular expenditure, with all the exam papers that need to be reprinted and suddenly be couriered and so on, because to replace leaked papers. Also, we have serious challenges. We are building some extra hostels, but existing hostels are standing empty at many of the colleges. And it seems to me as if the department is cannot be faced by this. Can I just ask for a few answers? You've said that the construction contracts for new campuses, you've referred to that. Now, as far as I know, those closed in June or July of 2016. How many of those contracts have now eventually been allocated? Can we see some work starting? Because the money's been set aside. This country is struggling with unemployment. Our colleges need to expand. And after a year and a half, in many cases, it seems to me, construction work has not started. I would appreciate it if I hope I'm wrong. Can you please explain to me slide 14, certificates issued to qualified candidates within 3 months of publication of the results? I would say if you say that all certificates have been issued within the 3 months, then that figure should be 100%. Please explain to me that target of 3 and the actual is 3%. For me, that says 3% of all certificates were issued within the 3 month term. And also, if you could just tell me, for example, with the certificate rate for NCV level 4, 30%, that is that really the department's target? I've just quickly made a calculation, Chair. If 100 students started in level 2 and 30% of them moved on, that's 30. 30% of 30 to go on to level 3 is 9. It's actually 33% now. And then of the 9, only 3 will eventually reach and pass level 4 if we put our target at 30%. Please, is that really what this department is aiming to achieve for our young people in this country? And then, Chief, I may just also ask, what progress has there been with the staff establishments for our TVET colleges? They have been merged many years ago by former Minister Asmal, and it seems to me as if quality in our TVET colleges will not be able to be achieved, will not be achievable, unless we first are able to attract the right people to come and serve in those colleges with permanent contracts, knowing what their futures are like, knowing what their career prospects are like. Chair, I would really appreciate if I could get the answers to those. Thank you.
First of all, on registration in universities, it seems to me that the university system could have taken an additional 20,000 students, and it didn't. And this is at a time when students are desperate for a university education. So I find this a really shocking unmet target. I really want to register my concern about that. And I think I got a little bit of a hint as to the kinds of reasons why we have this failed target by reading you an extract from a letter I received from a student who applied to UNISA this year, and this was her experience. I applied to study through UNISA in September 2017. I did my registration payment. I submitted all my documents, my ID, proof of payment, matric results, and the degree that I completed the previous year. I received a student number, and they informed me that I would hear from them not later than mid-December. In January, when registration opened, I still hadn't heard from them. I tried to register on the internet, and my application told me that there are documents outstanding. I resubmitted all the documents again. I mailed them four more times, but every time you got an automatic response with a case number that they would attend to the matter. I went in person to UNISA on the 21st of January. I stood in the queue for 3 hours, and at 8 o'clock when they opened the gates, everybody was called together and we were informed to go home because the staff was on strike. I went again the next day since 4 o'clock in the morning. I managed to get into the building in front of the door of the venue and was told they'd reached their maximum of people for the day. That was at 10 o'clock in the morning. I returned on the 29th of January and I received a ticket with a number, and I was sure that if I came the next day I would be helped. I returned the next day at 2 o'clock, sat in the venue with 200 other people waiting to be helped, all of whom said the ticket I received means nothing. They took 25 people between 8 in the morning and 1 that afternoon. After waiting for an hour at that venue, people started shouting and screaming and forming a line in a place to be taken next. The next moment, one of their workers came and fetched 50 people, and the rest were left. They refused to listen to me or try to answer my questions. The registration date was then extended. I then went back on the 9th of February and was informed that the staff are on strike. I then sent an email. The email was forwarded to another person who responded and said my documents were still outstanding. There are so many students trying to register that are in the same position as I am. We all have student numbers, but that is how far we can get, and we cannot register. This is a common story at UNISA, and I would plead with the department to assist this university with their registration. It is pathetic what is happening to these students, and it is Kafkaesque, and it is cruel. And I think that the under-registration figures hide a huge problem that really needs to be addressed. As far as CETAs are concerned, could we have a copy of the report, which you say in your report was submitted to the DG and was approved? Because that presumably is the follow-up on the report we rejected last year. And I think we have an interest in seeing what the next version of that report is. And then I'm concerned that university funding is underspent by $3 billion by the end of the third quarter. That means that January, February, and March, which are the fourth quarter, those universities which you mention are due an infrastructure grant and a historically disadvantaged universities grant, which adds up to $3 billion, are going to suddenly be able to spend that money. Now, I find that very unlikely. And I think what you might end up doing is fiscal dumping of these amounts in a way that indicates they are not being properly spent. And for our historically disadvantaged universities to have money owed to them by the end of the year, the academic year, that they haven't spent, which is in the billions, is appalling when you consider the needs of those universities. So what is the department doing to make sure that $3 billion is properly spent? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would also like to... let me first thank all the presentations and also reiterate our concern for the non-achievement of the target on the enrollment of 995,000 by the university sector. and further say that this is very disappointing, where almost 20,000 learners, students were not able to get a spaces or accommodated. We emphasize that the department need to explain the reasons related to the underperformance in this area. Secondly, I would like to know whether the department has transferred all NSFAS allocation to universities and colleges that have outstanding payments from NSFAS for the 2017 academic year. I think it is commendable that the TVETs were able to eradicate the NCV certificate backlog. But further express my disappointment that they were not able to report on headcount enrollments due to inaccuracies in data files, they said. If they can, I'd like them to explain what were the causes of this inaccuracies and where were inaccuracies experienced. During our visit, our oversight visit to Eastern Cape, we went to KSD TVET College, where we found two CFOs. I would like the department to explain what is the criteria used to appoint two CFOs for a college whilst others have one CFO, because it was an unusual situation and you wonder who is accountable in that situation when you have got two CFOs. On skills development, I share the same concerns raised by Honorable Killian on CITES, but further say that on the target proportion of CITES meeting standards of good governance, where you have allocated yourselves 100%, I differ with that. In fact, that leaves much to be desired, because we still have CITES that are under administration, like wholesale and retail CITA, YOSA CITA. We would like to have a copy of those standards so that we can see whether they meet the challenges, they are addressing the challenges that are experienced in CITAs. Thank you.
Any other member? If not, just before your answer, can you, in addition to the NSFAS Act target that you're talking about, can you inform us whether the Act includes the announcement that were made in December also? What is it that you have achieved? Can you inform us where the consultation is going to be on the 1st of March? This is near to Parliament, then, you know, we might pop in there. I think the members have expressed themselves sufficiently on the non-performance on the university issue, and I know you're going to tell us that there was turbulence in 2015 at the universities, and I know you're going to tell us there were turbulence at the universities at 2016. But I think we all agree UNISA is in constant turbulence. Now, other than UNISA, who, when we were there, does not even have a foundation program. Other than UNISA, can you tell us which universities, give us a list of the universities that are not achieving and the reasons that they put to you? Can you also bring the plans of the TVETs that you told us? You said you've achieved all of these other things. I think it will be good for us to go through that. I support that you give us the list of the standards of the CITES. I support that. And I think on the certification, look, I don't know if it's 20. Which year certificates are you reporting to us? Is it 2016, 17? Let me start there. But secondly, I think maybe what we must start to do on the certificates, we accept that you give us a figure that says, you know, we have now cleared the backlog, we're here, there, we've been 80%, 60, whatever. May we start zooming into the institutions? Because it's institutions that write to us all the time that says that they have not received, students have not received their certificates. Then we can start isolating where are the problem areas as it relates to certificates at individual institutions. And we don't look at the certificate issue in a global way that says, you know, all the institutions are in this, that, or the other problem. Deputy Minister, can we start with you? You want to end again?
Yeah, then I'll end.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. I'm just going to touch on one or two areas on the finance side as well as on corporate services and then ask each branch just to respond to questions. First of all, in terms of the total cost for examiners and moderators, the department experienced over the past few years, every year, that the expenditure on examiners and moderators is higher than what we normally would provide for, and we have raised the matter with National Treasury, and I can report that National Treasury agreed to provide us with an additional allocation in the future to deal with the costing issue of examiners and moderators. So we do hope that in future financial years this matter will be resolved. There are specifically two areas that impact on examiners and moderator costs. The one is student enrollments, as well as people qualifying to write exams, where those numbers deviate from year to year, and it is very difficult to have an accurate estimate. The other area is that in terms of the bargaining councils, examiners and moderators also receive specific salary or remuneration increases on an annual basis, and those must mainly be accommodated within our baseline allocation. So it remains a challenge at this point in time, but we are managing the situation carefully. The 3 billion outstanding claims on the university subsidies, perhaps I must just emphasize there that there are two specific areas. The one is on infrastructure grants, the other one is on the historically disadvantaged institution grant. For both those grants, the norm is that the department receives specific plans from the institutions as well as expenditure reports of the previous grants allocated to them. And based on the audited outcome of those expenditure as well as the plans provided, institutions receive advances based on the plans that they've submitted. So these amounts are those advances that must still be paid. All the institutions were required to submit their plans by the end of December, and they are currently in the process of evaluating those, and then the payments will be made during the end of February and during March this financial year. So in terms of the GEPF matter of the TVET College staff, there's approximately an amount of 130 million estimated that will have to be paid to the employees pension fund for those college lecturers specifically who did not contribute in the past. This matter is currently under audit and is near completion to determine the exact amount to be payable. And our arrangement with National Treasury is also that we utilize any possible underspending during this financial year, if we have the final audited number, to utilize those funds by the end of March for this purpose. And we also received a specific allocation over the MTEF to deal with this matter should our underspending not be sufficient to carry the whole cost. So that matter is currently being managed, and we trust that it will be also be completed, hopefully not later than around June, July this year. In terms of the vacancies and the disciplinary cases, I want to request that we submit a written response to those and provide the committee with the exact details of all the vacancies, what has been advertised, what is due for filling, as well as the status of all disciplinary cases within the department. I think the matter is that we refer to the five cases regarding irregular expenditure that were handed over to labor relations. We do not know what the outcome of those are yet, and there may be other cases regardless of irregular expenditure that may be with labor relations. All the disciplinary cases in the TVETs specifically, and I would recommend, Chair, that we rather give you a written response on all the cases that's currently being dealt with by the department. Chair, can we then go to program 3, 4, 5, 6 and to program 2, please?
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, on the NS5 Act, the plan is to have it tabled in Parliament by 31st March of this year. And then the question was also, does it include the announcement on free education for the poor and working class? Yes, that was the work that was already being incorporated after the HEHE Commission report leading up to, you know, to the announcement in December. And then on UNISA, I've certainly heard all the comments as well as the complaints that come from students who send them to the department as well. It's difficult to give a clear answer on this one, except to say that we have we've heard them, and we will take these issues up with UNISA. We have been already, in fact, since the beginning of the year, trying to work with UNISA management on the issues that are coming up, and so we will go further with the comments that have been made by the portfolio committee. And then there was a question, there was also an additional question on which other universities are not achieving the targets, I guess specifically on enrollments, but also generally on the graduates. I would like to request if we could please respond to that one, given written response, because I don't have the answers straight away on which other universities have missed their targets. And then there was a question of, although it was general, question of salaries at universities and how they are determined, whether the autonomy of the institutions does also imply that the universities determine the salaries. And the answer is yes. The councils of the respective universities determine or endorse the salaries, salary scales of the workers at their respective institutions without any involvement of government or the department in those salary determinations. So there can be variations across the system and within the institutions which the department wouldn't be aware of and never also made a contribution to that regard because of the, certainly because of the institutional autonomy. And then there was also a question on the issue of targets, and the question was particular on engineering graduates. but I think it was also general to the other graduates at the institutions. This is one issue that I tried a little bit to explain it earlier, and let me attempt again, ma'am, because this is going to be recurring. I can assure the House on that. The targets on graduates, and as you can see, different from the enrollments in the table that we have given, that you would find that large disparity on the enrollment, and we have given the explanation on that one, particularly with regard to UNISA, and then we'll give the numbers of the other institutions that need them. But when it comes to graduates, the targets that are set are averages based on the previous performances. They will never ever take into account social conditions, and that means dropouts, for instance, the failure rate, which cannot be factored into the calculation. So that's why I'm saying this issue is going to be recurring. And at this stage, the numbers that are there do not reflect on any impact that the student protests of 2015-16 have their impact. And that will only be seen by 2020, for example, on the graduates, because those were the students who were in the system at the time, and even beyond 2020. So we are going to be in this issue again next year, especially on graduates, again 2020, again 2021, and so on and so on. So we've got to, in our working in the department and the National Planning Commission, or the NDP, National Planning Department of Planning and Evaluation, we've got to rework on how we do the calculation, at least on the graduates. The enrollment is a different case. That's why I'm carving it out. And you will see that in the table, those misses are not as large as that of the enrollments. And then, again, this enrollment target that has been missed now, again, it will affect the graduates at a later stage, the graduates in those different fields. So it's a question of reworking on how we do the graduates' calculation in this case, without lowering the targets. You know, the targets must still be set and be set and be reasonable in terms of what we would want to achieve as the country, as well as on the NDP. There are no numbers set in the NDP, the National Development Plan 2030, except for, of course, the PhDs, the masters, and the number of PhD academics in the system. There are those numbers. And as far as we are concerned with the remaining time, we are still on course on those ones. So I thought, let me just give a further explanation on that. Then lastly, Chair, the consultation on the NPSET, the National Plan for Post-School Education and Training, the consultation on 1st March will be here in the Western Cape at the Cape Peninsula University of Technology, CPUT, at the Belleville campus. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Can you come back to answer the following? You say it's not in the NDP, but it is in the MPSF. So I think that's when members refer to the figures they're talking about, that if you can respond to that. I'm saying there are figures. They are in the MPSF. That's how the budget are being allocated also.
Yes, I fully agree with that, ma'am. And those targets that are set in the MPSF were targets that were derived from the work that we do, the government departments do with the planning, the NDP, the National Department for Planning and Evaluation.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. One of the first questions was around the MIS. the management information systems, and that seems to be a big one because it influences many other things, such as enrollments and certification and all of that. You know, it is true, historically the department, even when we existed as one department, colleges did not have a functional management information system. Numbers were largely dealt with manually, and were really handled within each college, which they reported at that time to provinces. And to get a system in place for to deliver really reliable data has been difficult. We've tried a system, but it was very unstable. So to just give a short version of what has happened in the last 2 years, we have begun a manual verification system. Because of the instability on the existing system, in 2016 and 2017, colleges were asked to capture manually and ensure that the original hard copies were available. The department undertook a verification process where they visited every college, and through sampling between the hard copies and the system that colleges use, the capture system, they did a verification process. And only after that was the data uploaded. So for 2016, we have data that has been signed off using that particular methodology. For 2017, that has not been signed off as yet. February was the target date, but due to certain difficulties and interventions in the system, concurrently the system has been built with the service provider. So given the configuration difficulties, that has been shifted to March, but the target date for verifying the 2017 data is March, 31 March. So really it will be the first time that we will deliver verified data. And the principle that we have committed to with colleges is that verification henceforth, going forward, will always be done against the hard copy registration, because given the system, there is no other way of doing it. So that is an in-principle decision that is taken until we find that the stability of the system is firmly entrenched. The question around whether the note on page 7, on page 7, yes, slide 14 is correct, it is very much about what I'm saying, the inaccuracies in the data and the data sets that have been released at different times have not been reliable. You know, the former minister really hadn't signed off on TVET college data in up to 2016-17 because of the instability in the system. So 2016-17 has been a very conscientious effort to show that the data that we present to be signed off can be verified against a standard operating procedure that we can defend. So that's insofar as those questions were concerned on the MIS. The issue around the workshops that are not used and the inability of the system to deliver the 70% of training, which is critical to TVET training, is actually a reality. We have found colleges that have not been able to maximize even the facilities that they do have, and that is part of an intervention plan. In some instances, the equipment has become outdated, so they haven't been able to replace them with more updated equipment that would deliver relevant training. But we have also found additionally that in some colleges, even the more modern, relatively new equipment hasn't been used. And that comes down to what was mentioned later on, issues about lecturer capacity development, lecturer contracting, and so forth. It is about the caliber of lecturers that we are dealing with currently. And lecturer development is a critical focus in 2018, where we have a more comprehensive plan to deal with it that implicates the colleges themselves in terms of their own development using the skills levy which they now get, working with universities that are gradually coming on board with our university's branch and starting to deliver specific qualifications for lecturers in terms of the framework that was published in 2013, and offering bursaries to lecturers to be able to study, and then factoring in with all of this the CPD program, because in TVET the CPD, continuing professional development, is extremely important to keep the currency of the lecturer's competencies for the students that they deliver. So, you know, that is a point of focus to really meet the mandate of TVET education and training. The leaks of exam papers is a persistent and a bit of a stubborn problem, but we have seen in 2017 that we've managed to reduce it dramatically. The fact that we had two leakages in November, any leakage is a problem, but it was a vast improvement from the previous cycles. And Chair, the truth is that the TVET examination system is probably the largest national examination system in the world. We have five different exam cycles every year, and it's like an engine that never stops. So to deal with the setting, moderating, release of results, supplementary exams, irregularities at that tempo makes it extremely hard, because papers have to be set across the country rather than in a centralized venue. A centralized venue would never work. And inherent in that system, we get leakages. But there have been various things that have been used, like courier services, release of papers within 24 hours of them being written, but that creates practical difficulties if campuses are 300 and 400 kilometers apart. But the fact that we had only two leakages, I think, is something we can build on going forward. Parallel to that, the department is working hard on rationalizing the examinations. We do feel that not every examination in the system has to be a national examination. So we are capacitating college management and the college academic board to be able to take responsibility for the quality assurance of this very important component to still keep the credibility of the qualifications. In terms of the 3% on the slide, I'm sorry to say that, you know, that cannot be explained. It should have been, absolutely, it should have been 100%. I just confirmed it now with the relevant official, because we have explained that it relates to a particular exam that is aligned to quarter three. So that should have been 100% report in this instance. Yeah, it's the fault of the branch. Sorry, Mr. Mgiba. In terms of the infrastructure, of the original 16 sites that we budgeted for, three are completed. For the 13, there are new tenders that have been issued, and of these 13, 11 contracts have been awarded, and construction will begin in the 2018-19 financial year. Two sites have not been awarded, and this was really attributable to the fact that there were no qualifying tenders, so there will have to be a rerun of those particular processes. I think, Chair, I have covered the critical points. If there's anything I missed, please bring it to my attention.
No, on skills, Chair, the request will be acceded to on providing you with the governance charter and governance standards. And I think also we want to reiterate that, you know, in the governance standards, there are about 37 standards. You will get this document by as soon as we get to the office. The latest by tomorrow you will get. And I do have a hard copy. I'll give it to you. But I think we want to reiterate, Chair, that the assessment that we have made, because it's the first year, is not against all the 37 standards. We said it's going to be incremental. I think we need to, so that when you get all the standards that we're giving you, you also know that the assessment was not based on all the 37, because we're focusing mainly on those standards that we can verify. But you will get the document the latest tomorrow.
Chair, just before you answer, DM, CFO, you did not answer the audit findings and the other, what was it? It was the audit finding, and it was also...
the two CFOs.
The what?
Two CFOs check at KFB.
It is the irregular expenditure and the audit finding, sorry, that I didn't hear you answer. You answered on the pension and the two, oh, okay, the two CFOs at Mthatha.
Remember them.
Let me just address the CFO matter at some of the colleges. The CFO support program with SICON is still ongoing, and there are a number of colleges where they are currently either a SICON CFO, in others their own CFOs, but then there is also where a CFO has been appointed and that the SICA CFO is in support and busy with handovers, and I think that may be the process at that specific college. I trust that is the case. I'm not aware of any other possible reason for that there would be two CFOs in that specific college. If it is two appointed persons, we would gladly want to hear that so that we can take it up with HR and determine what the situation is. In terms of the audit actions, I can report that it was on the 2nd of February, there was an audit committee of the department as well, where the progress with audit actions were discussed. The Auditor General was also present. The audit committee also indicated together with the IG that they are happy with the progress on the audit action plans. There are a few outstanding matters specifically related to some areas in the TVET branch, some of those linked to examination services and the data of the examinations, which are currently being dealt with by the branch, and then there is a number of areas which are linked to the financial year end, but the relevant processes are in place, and we are monitoring the situation to ensure that we get to the financial year end when the actual implementation takes place, linked to the closure of books, which is a full process during the month of April. I think those are the two critical ones. In terms of irregular expenditure, we reported in the slide, specifically on slide number 28, the matters related to irregular expenditure. There is no new irregular expenditure reported for the year. And on slide number 28, we record that all our irregular expenditure of previous financial years, including the one identified at the beginning of this financial year, was condoned by the DG, and the others have been referred to in terms of the delegations of authority to National Treasury. The disciplinary cases that was handed over, we do not know what the current status of those are. And I think in that written reply on the disciplinary cases, those will be specifically highlighted. If there's any other information, we will gladly share with you.
No, the irregular expenditure are the ones that the Auditor General pointed out on the colleges. Remember, it was a long list of... If you... Do you have that answer now?
Chair, unfortunately not. What we'll do is we'll ask the TVET branch, who's monitoring the position at the TVET colleges, to give us an update on what the status of those are and submit it to the committee.
I ask the Deputy Minister to respond.
Chairperson, I just wanted to have feedback also in that same report. Do we have the necessary legislative provisions by means of regulation, for instance, to enforce an annual company registered check of service providers. If we look at the entire sector, we really have so many institutions, Chairperson. We must know that our boards and members who serve in the TVET boards, colleges, everywhere, that they submit, conflict of interests, but that there must also be a checking mechanism by the department to check on the company's register if some of the people have, in fact, revealed their true interests, maybe at specific cases. Question is, actually, do we have that in regulations? Will it appear in Treasury regulations? And can the CFO and the department please just report back on that issue so that we can be proactive, Chairperson? We hope that a lot of money will flow into the higher education and training sector. We trust. Now we must put in place the necessary mechanisms to ensure compliance by everybody to the detail of Treasury regulations and everything, and we would like to have that as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the questions around the TVET sector and its role, I think those are quite interesting questions. And I think that we need to look at the work that has been done, in the last meeting of the committee that I attended, I think there was a discussion between the chair, or was it at the select committee, where there was a discussion between the chair and the department around not having been invited to the TVET colleges in Bizo. I've gone through the declaration of that in Bizo to look at what commitments are being made by people in the sector. But the point is that we need to implement all or most of the, if not all of the strategic commitments and thinking that has been gone through as it relates to the TVET sector. Because I think we should all acknowledge that things cannot go on the way they've been going. One of the biggest challenges why rolling out NSFAS funding into the TVET sector has been the fact that the information management system has been at its weak. So it doesn't only affect the numbers of students who were there or any other issues relating to the TVET sector, but it also affects as it relates to funding of students. The funds that goes to per student, accommodation, transport, catering, and all the other benefits that involves NSFAS funded students, requires a proper management information system for you to be able to roll it out successfully. So that's one of the biggest challenges over and above the challenges that has been there. So I think it's one area that we need to look at. The reality is that TVET colleges, we have to stop treating them as though they're glorified high schools. And that relates to management on the ground, that relates to the role that sectors play on the ground, that also relates to the need for dynamic leadership in the department. I think we have to lead as a department if we are to see the changes that we envisage as it relates to to the TVET sector. This sector is going to and should actually already be playing a much bigger role in terms of skills, in terms of employment, in terms of also ensuring that when we expand our education, our post-schooling education sector, that it plays that particular role. So I take the points that members have raised as it relates to the challenges around the TVET sectors, and I agree that this is where we should be dedicating most of our concerns towards. With regards to the LSFAS, yes, there's a strike. Apparently it started yesterday. It involves a whole range of issues, and the management is negotiating with the unions, and so we're hoping that that strike would be resolved. It's a whole range of demands from workers, so negotiations are underway. We're hoping that it will not affect the role that the LSFAS has been playing in as it relates to the registration process. Of course, we're at the tail end of registration and them processing all sorts of things. So we're hoping that it will not affect that. With regards to the targets, the way it works is we submit an annual performance plan here, and so the portfolio committee, parliament should be aware of the department's annual performance plan, and that annual performance plan is based on the medium-term strategy framework, the MTSF, which is based on the National Development Plan. So it's not something that we thumbsuck. And I think we'll have to look at that when we submit the annual performance plan for 2018-2019 as to whether are we agreed to with regards to the targets that we have set. So I thought I should say that, and I think we can always look at the targets of TVETs and higher education and whether we should structure them in a similar way. But we have to accept that the two sectors are different. I think there's a point that was raised earlier around decentralizing examination at the TVET sector and probably look at decentralizing a whole range of other things as it relates to and empowering institutions to be able to do some of those things. But we have to ensure that there is a capacity if that has to happen. And then finally, as it relates to UNISA, I share some of the concerns that members have raised as it relates to UNISA. I personally went to both the main campus and also their regional campus in Durban. And when I was in Durban, there were about 5,000 students who were studying on the queue. And I was quite worried that the management of the campus were treating the situation as though it's just normal. In fact, that's what they told me, that this is what happens at UNISA every year. So we had to, force them into crisis management mode so that they attend to each and every student who was on the queue. And ensure that they are allowed to apply ultimately get them to register. We actually did that together with the CEO of NSFAS was at hand to respond together with his staff on some of the challenges that students were confronted with. So I really share some of the issues that are being raised, and I must say that the department has been doing its bit to help UNISA to ensure that the registration process goes smooth. The strike did not really help. I think it went on for about 8 days, right in the middle of the registration process, which means that a lot of days were lost by the university as it relates to you know, registration. So I haven't looked at the figures. I'm aware that the university has gone through what they call they've soft locked. That's the first time I've heard that term. They've soft locked registration. So they are essentially looking at those who have already made applications. You know, so there's been one or two of those cases that I've personally been confronted with, similar cases. And you know, as Chief says, we try by all means to assist them on a case-by-case basis. I hope that that responds to the questions, Chair.
Honourable members, can I check with you if all your questions have been answered?
Just the question, I mean, I think that's an important point around getting to, you know, ensure that those who serve in the boards are, well, not vetted, but, you know, that they are competent to serve in the board, they declare interest and all of that. There are guidelines, I'm not sure how far the Chief, if you can just brief the committee, as it relates to the, I think, a centralized system database for people to serve in university councils. And I think a similar thing could be used for, you know, all of that. But just a minute to give the committee a sense of what that is all about.
Thanks, DM. Yes, quickly, certainly for the universities, that's being piloted, and we have requested universities to report by 30 June. Then after that, it will be rolled out, and there will be a form for the council members, at least at the universities, to declare, and also for the registrars of universities to submit the information to the department as part of monitoring. As DM said, you know, that's for the universities, and probably the same or similar format can be used for the boards of CITAS. Thanks. And TVET, please.
I do not see anything else that the members say that they have, that the questions have not been answered. No, not new. Let's just start there. I don't see anyone. Is there any other burning issue that you would wish to raise, Honourable Bazoli? Tunu Kilian, I've noted you, Honourable Kikana, and Honourable Mavunda. Kilian, Mutunu. Did I call you Kilian?
Anyway, you pointed at me, so. Chair, the burning issue that I have.
My apologies, Honourable Van Onselen.
Bazoli. The burning issue that I have is that we did look at several universities during registration. We've read numerous newspaper articles on what's been going on during registration. We hear now there's a strike at NSFAS. There's one again at DUT, violent strike. So I do believe that we need some sort of briefing from the department on what is happening in universities and TVET in respect of fee-free higher education. What is the state of affairs? How smooth have it been? What have the main hiccups been? What are the department planning to do about it, you know, next time? What have they learned from it? So if we could have that briefing, I'm not necessarily saying now, But if we could have a significant briefing from the department, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm just reminded that when we visited Forte, one of the things they said were the reasons for not meeting the target on the first entrance was, especially in science and agriculture, was due to low pass rates in maths and science. If the department can just explain what engagement does it have with DBE so that more learners can register for pure maths, not maths lit. It's just that what happens in DBE has implications for the Department of Higher Education. Just those engagements so that they are able to, you know, what they are receiving is of a good quality. Lastly, it relates to what Honorable Bozoli has said, the matter of DUT. It's entering the seventh week or the sixth week now, the strike. If the department can just attend to that. I know that the DM has visited them, but maybe more needs to be done in that regard. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, the interaction between the Department of Higher Education and Training and, on the one hand, basic education is critically important. Obviously, it is touching with other departments as well, because economic development will tell us what the type of skills are that we should refocus the department's skills development programs, etc. Now, the only thing is, as far as basic education is concerned, I also just want to point out that students should actually be assisted in high school, secondary school, with career choices. When it comes to enrollment in the tertiary sector, very often the subjects that they have selected and obviously the pass rate that they have achieved are serious stumbling blocks. Now, Chair, in some of the developed countries, they in fact ask students at a very young age, and I'm talking of 13, 14, 15, to start making specific selections so that they are focused on a career in future. Is there any interaction on career development planning with the department that is taking place? Like we usually say, Chairperson, if not, why not? Thank you.
Chair, just on the issue of engineering, we might not have ready answers. I just want us to put it on the agenda, because I feel if we don't address it, no matter how difficult it is with all the aspects and factors that affect it, we still have to address it, because if we don't, the desired state of the nation, national development plan will actually not manifest, because the key implementation is here. Now, if the agriculture, South Africa is mainly rural. Look at agriculture just as an example. Textile industry, cotton, a lot of our shares are written, 80% cotton or suit. That cotton, to manufacture it ultimately from raw material from agriculture, will need engineering. Even before in the value chain, it comes to a tailor who must manufacture a suit. A lot of this raw material from agriculture and mining, and a lot of our mines, platinum, are in the rural areas. Mokopane is said to be number one world producer of platinum, and all this value chain that we want can't manifest if you don't have engineering. Now, I'm saying we need to really put engineering into, especially these universities that are historically black, because they are in the rural areas, and it is difficult. I know it needs funds and so on, But that is the battle we must engage on, because if we offer easy degree, easy options, we won't have solutions, because solutions are not easy. They are themselves difficult to develop a country. So I would like us to have a program where we targeting introducing engineering to all our black universities. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've got two or three questions. But let me first express my little bit dissatisfaction about the response with regard to the concern raised by Honorable Bozori, specifically to the manner in which UNISA respond, you know, to the applicants. And I think there is a need for a program. You know, he said they are busy with it and they are about to get it right. But can we have maybe an information as to how do you handle it? Because I'm one of the affected father of my daughter who tried to apply since last year, but she could not get through. And last year she was given the so-called case number. Until I sort of intervened with the vice chancellor and the lecturers there. But can you imagine those kids who are without assistance from their parents? Can you imagine how frustrated could they be? I mean, it's absolutely a cause for concern. And I would like perhaps to see, maybe to be told about a program on how to address these issues. But one other issue, Chair, is with regard to CITES. I don't know, maybe I do not have enough information as to what is the role of the CITES. Because the little understanding that I have is that they are there to assist maybe graduates, to expose them to the experiential learning. But let me tell you, Chairperson, or tell the members here through you, that those graduates, we see the adverts in the newspaper, they are there. But when our kids apply, they are, you know, sent from pillar to post, this and that. And there is a long queue for the graduates, you know, wanting to register for the experiential learning. I don't know, but I think there is a need for, whether will you call it investigation or what, but at least there is a need for monitoring mechanism as to those CITES are adhering to the to our duty call. Lastly, Chairperson, on the TVET, the construction of the remaining 9 TVET college campuses. There is one that is on construction. But I don't see where those place where these nine are going to be built. Because sometimes tenders are out there for construction, only to find that the payment is done to the contractors, but no infrastructure built. When you go there, there is no infrastructure. You see, in some other weather departments or what. But all I'm trying to say is that at least there should be specific to say in this area or in this TVET, we are going to build a campus. I think this statement is too general. It's just general, we are building 12 TVET campus. Out of 12, there is this 9 and stuff like that. And it confuses. I don't understand why is it not mentioned as to where these campuses are going to be built. Thanks, Chairperson.
All right. I think we should just get some answers to those questions. Can you clarify in the document of Treasury on Program 3, they state that the reason for the reason for the expenditure in Program 3, 1.7 billion rand is lower than projected, and they say that because you have not done well on the infrastructure transfers and the problem that relates to the transfers, and then are urging you to have a proper program and a proper mechanism. Equally so, on what you're going to write to us on the personnel matter or compensation, as you call it, can you in there also clarify what Treasury is saying, that again the 24.6 million that is lower than your projected your projection is due to the vacant post that could not be filled as planned due to difficulties in processing high application and all of that thing. I think what you must say to us when you respond to us is, because you are saying that you can't find suitable people in particular areas, and Treasury says your problem is within the TVET sector and in the CET sector. I think at some point you must tell us, is it worthwhile, Deputy Minister? Do we need to have something there for the sake of having something there? Because this matter is in every quarter, we discuss it at the end of the year, annual report, we discuss both, program number one, on and on and on. The members went to the department, they found many boxes there, they opened the boxes, and look, I wasn't there, so I must not exaggerate. All of that. I think we must come to a point where we say, here is a worthwhile exercise or not, and whether indeed the department has a completely new plan. We know you've got to hold on to money as much as you can, but let's find a better way in holding on to the money other than holding on to the money in an area where it is not helping the department at all. So at the same time, I want to say, honorable members, that I think on the issue of UNISA, the members are very kind, I must say. You are very kind today. You are probably early in the year and you're not angry yet and so on. But you're very kind on the UNISA matter. It's not as kind as the members are conveying to you. In Afrikaans is het, dit is een gemors. Ik zal hier die andere woorden gebruiken wat in Afrikaans is. It's called unparliamentary language. Nee, ik zal niet. Nee, nee. Deputy Minister, don't insist that I do that. Look, I think let's just be very honest. It was really a shock when we went there. We couldn't believe the chaos to the level that it is. So they told you one story, Deputy Minister, when we came there, and luckily you informed us about your visit there and what they said. They said the opposite to us than what they said to you. And the truth is, we have been watching UNISA slowly regressing bits by bit all the time. And I don't think we should allow that anymore, Honourable Members. I want to put to the members that what we should do, Honourable Members, is we think that our oversight on UNISA can't end in the day that we have gone there. I want to put to the members that we should maybe, because of the tightness of our program, we should consider asking UNISA to come here. Yeah. How happy lot. We shall see how our oversight program look like in the days and so on, whether we should go there again. But I want to say it's going to help us to bring them back. We haven't quite dealt with our oversight report yet. But I want to say, notwithstanding the fact that we're going to discuss our oversight report and anticipate that we should be doing that. And saying they are nice, we actually forced Honorable Mabunda to go. Because he says he's a member of parliament, he can't use his privilege, he can't do all of that. And his poor child. So we forced him. You are here, go and do that. No one can tell you because you are a member of parliament, you must suffer because you are. And his child had no joy. And what it costs that he had to do, even on the last day, what he had to do, and I won't go into all of it. I think it can't be correct, Deputy Minister. Behind him sits another student. She is just very kind about the fact that she's just not there. She is in real life in the committee on not having any joy. And so we can give you, just in this room, many examples just amongst herself. I won't even come to Honourable Killian's letters that she sends to me. So I think let's not mess around with this issue anymore. We must get them to come here again, or we go there, whichever one we are able to do on our program. And I trust that the members will support that. So as we end the meeting, Honourable Members, and you're going to answer. We agree that you will send to us everything in writing. I won't repeat all the things that we said that includes on the certificate also. We agree that Deputy Minister, if you were to submit the act at the end of March, Parliament is going to rise for that term, for the first term, that you consider coming to us at the beginning of the term. The next term, to maybe give us an initial briefing on the bill, if it is so that the Nassus Act is ready. And that's what he said. That's what he said. Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll write to you and tell you the undertakings that we've made and you have made in this meeting, and ask you to respond to the issues that we raised in the letter as it relates to that. Can we hear about the questions that the members have now asked, and then we'll end the meeting thereafter?
Okay, I think just some quick ones, Chair. Firstly, the strike at DUT and now at LSFAS have got no relation with the fee-free higher education announcement. They are wage-related strikes. We're quite concerned that the DUT strike has been going on for 6 months, 6 weeks. In the first week of the strike, I met with the Vice-Chancellor and the Chair of the Council, And I followed that meeting up with meeting with all the unions and meeting with the students' organizations. It was quite interesting that the just in the first week of the strike, negotiations went dead. So we encouraged them to get back into the negotiations table, which they did. They've been towing and throwing, and about last week I spoke to both the Vice Chancellor and the unions, both the FEDUSA and the HAU, the national leadership, trying to see if we can't get them back into the negotiations table, because it's one thing when there's a strike and people are at least talking. So in that case, there's a whole range of factors at play. So the situation is in such a way that the parties do not believe each other. There's a lot of distrust and all of that. And clearly we cannot impose on either of the parties to accept or reject the demands or the proposals of us made by the one party. All that we can do is to encourage them to get back to the negotiations table. So we're quite worried, obviously, and we're doing our best, together with the minister to ensure that the situation is restored. The academic year has been affected and all of that. Secondly, when I went to the NSFAS headquarters in the first week of Jan, I was told that there was an AMPR strike in December last year. Yes.
NSFAS has been having an ongoing dispute. When we were there, the workers spoke to us and told us what the issues are.
Yeah.
The parties are not conversing with each other. They need some other mechanism. They are not.
Yeah. So as is now, the CEO of NSFAS indicated to me that he's actually in a meeting with the unions. So we'll try and get more information and try and see what how we could help and all of that in order for the whole thing to be sorted out as soon as possible. And I think. Yes, Honorable Buzodi is right. Maybe we should give a report, an overall report to the committee on the registration process. And I think you're also right that it should probably be with specific focus on, not with specific focus, but probably more time dedicated on UNISA. And as I said, I went to one of their campuses and all of that. So I fully agree with the points that the members are raising as it relates to UNISA, and that we are doing everything in our powers to make sure that we help them so that we have we're able to cover as many students as possible. There is a career section in the department. It's called CATA. It's actually a campaign which goes out and enlighten students in grade 12 about what career options are there, what are the scarce skills, which ones are being funded, and to basically help them to make those choices and all of that. So there is. And then finally, there's a working group between the Department of Basic Education and the Department of Higher Education and Training, which is looking at the issues that members raised around math and science, the packaging of subjects and how those have an impact on the career choices and study program choices and all of that. President had at the time when he was chairing the Human Resource Development Council asked us that the committee should report to him by June, so there is work in progress in this regard. So we do acknowledge that need for both departments to work together. So there is that working group that's in place that's looking at all those issues that that members raised. I hope that responds to the questions. And then, yes, we will probably in the new term, as you suggest, Chair, do the presentation on the NSFAS bill.
All right. I want to end the meeting. Molaniana. Molaniana. Can you clarify what you mean?
What financial implications in what sense?
The department obviously isn't having to pay the fees, but there must, I assume, have been some expenses involved in the department in managing this complex new first year. For example, has more money come in for NSFAS, which you've had to transfer? Have you had to assist universities with the difficulties of registering students in such a difficult situation? So there must be expenses that have been involved in the beginning of the year process, particularly given that this has been so sudden.
Don't worry. 2 o'clock, we will hear lots of things also.
Okay. All right. Maybe that, yeah. Okay. Okay.
And then we can work through all those figures okay. That we will hear 2 o'clock. Now I can see there's another small one, Yana.
Chair, I wanted to commend the DM that he has adapted himself well to the sector, and that I see that he didn't go on holiday. He spent most of his time, you know, getting information, getting used to this. I'm happy in how he has visited the institution.
May I ask you to stay off Facebook and Twitter? I really report the Facebook and Twitter that you are giving to us now. I'm going to ask us to positive note.
It's just with reference to Honorable Bazzoli's request. I was just thinking, since we will be having the presentation from the department on the financial, you know, the new budget, could they not on that occasion then also deal with whatever the complications were for them at the beginning of the year, NSFAS, etc., etc., so that we don't have two presentations on the finances?
We can work out the modalities of that, because certainly by the middle of March the department is coming with the strat plan and budget and so on, and I'm sure honourable members we can work out the modalities on all of those things. Honourable members, Deputy Minister, would you mind sending us a report on Fort Hare also? It's not been doing very well. It was good when we went there. Afterwards, they've had disruptions again. And if you can maybe just send a report to us on what interventions are being made at Fort Hare. We really saw a very sad story of a beautiful building being torched, lying in ruins there. And maybe at some point we have to discuss all of these things. I'm saying if you can inform us about Fort Hare, because I'm worried we're going to have a similar situation of, you know, the student says it's not them, they've been infiltrated and somebody else came to do. I don't know. But before it gets to that situation again, there is a problem again at 4:30. Honourable members, may I ask that we heard what you said on DUT. I think, honourable members, we will monitor and hear from the department how it's going. Again, if there's a need to engage further with DUT or having to ask Parliament whether we should go there, we need to be satisfied that the plan that are being put in place in DUT at NASFIS, at Fort Hare, all of them, does speak to the fact that the core business of the university and of the institution will still continue. And we're not quite sure if the department is putting something in place around that. Having said all of that, honourable members, may I thank you very much for the meeting. May I thank the Deputy Minister for coming. May I thank the officials for coming. We are not going to be dealing with